jasmine, oolong, green, and white. Long ago, these four teas were skillfully brewed at the Blissful Brew. Then, everything changed when the shop's popularity threatened its existence. All Mr. Ocaron, the shop's owner and tea master, could do was to recruit four teenage orphans to learn his trade and staff his shop. A year has passed since the orphans were hired, and although their skills have progressed, they still have a lot to learn before they can brew anything. But I believe that they have the potential to make the Blissful Brew the greatest tea shop in the world.
Last time on Benders and Brews, an Avatar Legends podcast.
You guys are currently inside the big open cavern for the third trial. You successfully make it to the other side. The next challenge. The tunnel finally opens up into a room. The wind is shooting down the staircase, and it is so incredibly intense to the point where it's keeping you from even moving forward.
So while he's climbing up, I'm basically like putting my shoulder into him and I'm like shoving him forward.
Oh,
Brock.
Mika on your back. Sure enough, you guys make it to the other side safely.
Sick.
As you guys walk into the next room, you see a wide cavern filled with water.
So remember how when you first arrived and you asked if this place was haunted, then I mentioned there was a flesh-eating spirit. So this is where that spirit resides.
Guo hops into the boat and starts looking for a hat. All hands on deck!
Mika, that fear causes you to go a little bit more intense than you'd want to, and the waves start to kick up a little bit harder as you move the boat a little faster. Over the next probably 10, 15 minutes, you guys finally reach the other side. The door starts to open. You guys look inside this room. Around the middle pedestal is Madame Yang.
Welcome back, everybody, to Benders and Brews Season 3, Episode 5. We left off last episode with quite the cliffhanger, but before, well, actually, we would have already had like a little what happened last time that you would have already heard up until this point. But we'll get to a quick verbal reminder for everybody of the very basics after we reintroduce the players and their characters. Dave.
I'm playing Guohan. Guohan the Adamant. And as established last episode, Guo has smooth cheeks.
Yes.
No facial hair so far.
Not even a peach fuzz.
At 14 years of age. He has been experimenting with different tea, maybe tinctures, you would call them.
Tinctures?
Just rubbing tea on his face, basically.
To try to get facial
to
hair?
To try to have some sort of reaction. prefer the desired reaction.
I was going to say, I'm sure he's experienced a couple of negative reactions.
Yeah, he's got some rashes.
Rashes and acne and
some light burns now.
I like to think that there have been a couple of leaves that, like, at the very least, like, left kind of a faded, you know, dark. So it kind of looked like you had like a 5 o'clock shadow. Right, like you came out into the Blissful Brew one day, ready for a day at work, and everyone's like, whoa, what's with your face? And you just look like a dude that hasn't shaved in a day, really stressed out. Maybe you had bags under your eyes because you were tired.
No, I had tea bags under my eyes.
Oh, it is good. All right, I
got one.
All right, go for it.
So,
who are you?
I am Connor, and I'm playing Broccoli. And little to Guo's knowledge, occasionally he'll pluck a hair off his beard and like put it next to his pillow while he's sleeping to give Guo a sense of, oh, I'm growing a beard,
but it's falling out as quick as
falling out. I gotta keep rubbing this leaves on my face.
I thought you were saying that's what Brock did for his own. He takes his own beard hair and he puts it under his own pillow, and then every night the beard fairy stops by and gives some of Yuan under his
and
pillow.
A little kiss on
and
the
it turns out it's just Mr. Ocaron.
that would have been amazing.
He just reaches under there and he's like, oh, he's at it again. Hi, Brock, if you needed more money, you could just ask. Slips a Yuan underneath.
Nah,
runs off and puts Brock's beard hair in Mr. Ocaron's beard hair jar he's collecting.
No, it's just giving Guo false hope that
It's working.
Oh, sorry. I should have said the beard hair fair or spirit. There we go.
The beard hair spirit.
They don't have fairies in the Avatar Last Airbender. Michaela, you look like you're ready.
Sure.
Okay.
I'm Michaela. I play Mika. And Mika's fun fact is that she really loves flowers.
Oh, okay.
And she has a goal to see some of the most rare flowers in her lifetime. Like, kind of like a bucket list.
Yeah. Just awesome. Different types. She was probably really excited in that cave with all the plants and stuff growing there. Yeah, right on. And a tea shop's a good place. Because I like to think, I'm pretty sure, I mean, there's some flowers that are used in teas.
Like, is it like probably the, not the rarest, white lotus flower or something?
Ooh, that sounds fancy. Very cool. Does she grow them or just admire them?
Just admires them.
Right on.
You know, where they naturally grow.
Very cool. All right. Well, we'll have to integrate some flower viewing opportunity maybe. Last but not least, got Cameron.
So these facts are supposed to be fun?
They can be morbid. What?
Tell me a different category they could fall under.
Mine's kind of dark.
That's fair. Yeah, we do that.
So last episode, we talked about spirits, and you said Guo and Mika have seen a spirit. Well, Bill has a frequent, he doesn't dream, but rather has a nightmare.
Mm.
And it's the same one every time. And I won't say much, but the nightmare consists of a trapped spirit. And he had these nightmares a lot more often when he was at home. And that's played a fact and part of the reason he ran away. And ever since he ran away, these nightmares have been way less frequent, probably because he's just not around at home anymore.
Right.
But they will, once in a blue moon, this same nightmare will show up. And Bill will usually like take a moment before showing back up to everyone just because
he
has to like compose himself basically after it.
Yeah, it kind of helps not being, you know, around the things that remind you of what that
kind of
spirit
triggers
stems from.
Basically,
exactly. So being away from it definitely would ideally minimize it a little bit for sure. So interesting. Well, if I assume if people are interested in learning a little bit more, they can check out the prequel episode. I feel like it's related to that.
It is related to that.
That makes sense. Yeah. So definitely make sure to check out. Bill, well, make sure to check out all the prequel episodes. I know I say this every time they get brought up, but I'm really proud with how they turned out. I think it was pretty epic, really cool, like story, all kind of partially pre-enacted and written while also mixing the role play. So anyway, yeah, it's really cool. So definitely go check those out, especially if you're curious about what the heck Cameron's talking about. So awesome. All right, jumping back in for season 3, episode 5.
Madam Yang!
And before you stands, sure enough, the aforementioned Madam Yang inside of this chamber where all these fancy Air Nation relics and so on and so forth, this sort of inner sanctum. In the back of the room, you can see what looks like sort of a pretty wide opening in the mountain where some ropes kind of hang from. Suggesting that maybe they had scaled the walls of this mountain all the way up so that they could get inside before the rest of you. Whatever the case, Madam Yang stands there. She's holding what seems to be a case. And there's a couple of, there's like a letter on it. And, you know, with a beamline view of it, you can see that it has, let's see, Brock's name on it. Suggesting that this is obviously not last clue, but the next clue that Mr. Ocaron had left behind here. It probably even features, the case itself probably features the Blissful Brew logo. I don't know why I'm kind of beating around the bush there, but whatever the case. In addition to that, in her hand, she holds what looks like a small clay turtle, something that she must have grabbed off of one of the pedestals, something that obviously has apparently some kind of value. But whatever the case, accompanying Madam Yang is 4 Hot Leaf Juice cronies. 4 of her elite operatives that have kind of caused you guys issues along some certain points. Mostly back at the tea party in season 1.
Can I use a little tiny blast of water, like a BB gun pellet, at the turtle and just break it?
You're going to break the Air Nation relic that she's stealing?
Well, would I know it's an Air Relic Nation, or just... I'm just mad at her.
I would say that she's picking it up off a pedestal.
Oh, she's not holding it. I thought you said she was holding it.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, she's picking it up. Mm. So it's like in her hand. It's not very big.
Can I drop her into the ground again?
Well, I mean, you could. She doesn't seem super startled by you guys. She kind of gives you a bit of a smirk and she's like,
well, well, well. I was wondering if I'd manage to get in and out without you seeing me. But here we are. It's been quite some time since I last saw you. Or rather, since you saw me. After all, I've been keeping a close eye on the four of you ever since the funeral back in Gaoling.
That's hot.
Ew.
What?
Disgusting.
What's she doing here? Guru Topeak? What? We've been tricked. We've been hoodwinked.
He looks just a surprise, and he goes,
led astray.
I'm gonna run towards her and punch her.
Hold on.
That's my thing. I run blindly into physical altercations. That's my thing.
In reference to Guohan's concern, you all turn to look at Guru Topeak, and he looks absolutely horrified. He says,
please, ma'am. I don't know who you are, but the relic in your hand is very old and very important. Please, I beg you, put it back on the pedestal where you found it.
And she just kind of looks at it and she goes,
what? This old thing? No, I think I'll keep it.
And she puts it into her robe. She has like a pocket.
I really want to punch her.
You really want to punch her?
That's my thing. All right, I'll run with her.
All right, the two of you guys.
I mean, you tackle her, I'll punch her.
I can't let her not, but there's also four other guys there too.
Still going to punch her.
I would imagine we're going to have to go through some of the other guys first, so maybe we pump the brakes. I'm little and wily.
I can...
Let's not be too hasty. You know it's weird when I'm saying that, but...
It is kind of weird.
Brock, you're boring.
I'm boring.
I'm literally full of rage. I'm just going.
You're full of rage.
What's...
You said that with such a giddy voice.
What's the facial hair situation on these Leaf Juice employees?
They wear like masks, so you can't even see their faces.
It's not a fair fight.
They look like they can fight?
Yeah, they all take stances.
Guys,
I want to punch her.
I bet they got some beards under those masks.
Probably.
But you know, guys are pretty rough.
But you know what they don't have? They don't have a captain's hat.
They don't have a hat.
They don't got a captain.
They're hatless.
That's right, Brock.
Exactly.
A captain. Captain's got to be brave. Captain's got to lead the charge.
That's right. Yeah,
that's right. We're all going in, right?
I've got your back.
Walking towards him, strutting, puffing out my little chest.
Bill's gonna walk behind you, and he's gonna whisper, "Do we start snapping again like last time?"
That was pretty effective, all things considered. All right, so
Mika just sprinting ahead?
So it sounds like everybody's moving in. It's just a matter of
Mika's dead sprinting.
Mika and Brock.
Running. I think Guo's strutting, and Bill's.
Strutting alongside
him. So he's doing like the Conor McGregor, like with the arms.
I'm more like, Guo's definitely not prepped for this situation. So Bill's going to protect him and be like, you did it yourself.
Whatever the case, this sounds like a combat exchange. So that's what we're going to jump into. So get your little cards ready. Look at your moves and so on and so forth. So you guys are going to pick out the approaches. There we go. Yes. Pick out your approach.
Yeah. One of mine just fall under advance and attack.
Okay.
I will, even though I'm sprinting, I will evade and observe.
All right. Is anyone taking defend and maneuver?
I am taking defend and maneuver.
You are taking defend and maneuver. Okay.
I am also taking defend and maneuver.
Okay. I'll let you guys go first. So you guys are going to be rolling with focus.
I will assess the situation for the punch where it matters. Is that defend and maneuver?
Is that like one of your special moves?
Yeah, it's one of my special moves.
Yeah, then yes.
When you assess the situation, you can always ask who or what here is most vulnerable to me, even on a miss. Remember to take +1 ongoing to act in accordance with the answer.
It technically isn't a combat move, but you don't have to be in combat. Like, you can interchange between the basic moves and the combat moves. But whatever the case, yeah, you're rolling assess the situation. Well, yeah.
Ooh, 11.
11. Okay, so what does that do for that particular ability? Not the assess the situation, the punch where it matters or whatever the case.
I can always ask who or what here is most vulnerable to me. So on any turn after this,
right.
I can ask what is who or what's most vulnerable, and then if I act on that, I get a plus one to my roll.
Okay. Awesome. So
I guess it doesn't count as like a move.
Right. But since, so it tells you to do assess a situation, right? Like that's part of the ability. So you got an 11, so you actually asked two. So one of those questions can be the one that comes with your ability.
Yep.
And then you also have the other questions on assess a situation. So you could ask one of those as well.
Okay. So I already know who, or I know that that's going to be a given.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll ask who is the biggest, well, I guess if I ask the biggest threat, it might be Madame Yang. So who amongst the grunts is the biggest threat?
Oh man, I mean, they all seem pretty equally geared up.
Do any of them have weapons or are they bare?
Yeah, let's say they all have, I was trying to think of like a really intimidating tea making utensil that they would have as weapons. Well, and like, that's what they have equipped with them. But I think they would
boiling water, I think, is
most. Yeah, that's true. I think they all have like climbing stakes in their hands.
Mm.
And so those are kind of sharp. But you notice that they also seem to probably all be benders of some kind. I would actually probably argue that they are all earthbenders. They all kind of take a stance, and you, especially as an earthbender, you can recognize earthbending stances when you see them, and they all take a stance that you recognize.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
And then what was the question that comes with your ability? It was like something about weaknesses.
Who or what is most vulnerable to me?
Okay. Let's see here.
But if they're all sort of equally yoked.
Right.
Who's the pretty lady he can...
Well, I was going to say, you could obviously turn around and start attacking your friends. They would all be obviously unexpected to that idea. But no, more importantly, Madame Yang has both of her hands full right now. Well, I guess she did put the turtle in one of them. But otherwise, she doesn't have anything, no weapons or anything like that. So in theory, she's weakest. If you were to say...
If I were to charge her...
Right. But now, technically, you'd have to get past the people, so maybe she's not quite like the weak link.
We'll see if I get my punch in.
You got to get through the grunts first.
Right.
I'm small and wily.
I'm gonna say that one of them seems to have what looks like maybe a little bit of a limp. He takes a stance, and his leg looks a little weak. So I'm gonna give that. That's, I'm supposed to use your guys' abilities and moves to help me develop the story. So that's how I'm gonna do it.
Okay.
So one of them seems a little bit, maybe he's injured himself on the way here or herself. It's really kind of hard to tell when they're wearing masks and everything.
Madame Yang probably kicked her.
Oh, jeez. I mean, that's entirely possible. Rude. She is rude. That's true.
She doesn't care about her staff.
Yeah, hot leaf juice doesn't have any short-term disability.
Okay, so I'm going to say that. So that was your combat attempt. And then, Bill, you're also taking defend and maneuver. What are you doing? I guess you're...
Divert.
Divert. Okay, tell me about divert. That must be one of your moves.
It's just if one of my allies is about to get attacked, I jump in their way.
And
defend them and also take the damage from itself and then retaliate.
Nice. Okay, very cool. So that's kind of at the... Well, did you roll for that?
Yeah, I just did. 13.
Oh, 13. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So actually... I'm trying to remember. On a 10 plus, you choose one from the list. That's one of your practiced techniques. So yeah, you're good to go.
Learned, practiced, and mastered.
Oh, nice. Okay. So yeah, you're good to go to easily do that. So okay, so you take that stance up,
and
ready
I'm
to go.
Quo.
Oh, okay. Oh, you have to pick somebody?
Yeah,
I pick
an ally to defend.
Alright.
If they don't get attacked, then I just spend the turn.
Doing nothing?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Okay, so you prepare, you kind of like step towards Guo's side, readying
like
to...
Like I said, I'm following him and we're doing the snap and stride.
The snap and stride. You've got your staff at the ready in one hand, you're snapping in the other hand. Awesome. Okay, Madame Yang is also taking defend and maneuver. She technically takes a couple of different moves, all things considered. She shouts out, she says,
"It seems you have no wish to hear the tales of how I followed and stalked your every move ever since leaving Gowling."
Ooh, up until this
care.
Point.
Well, what if we get her monologuing?
I added monologue.
Maybe you can stop by my up-and-coming hot leaf juice Gowling shop once we're open, and I'll dish all the details.
She's using defend and maneuver. She's using seize a position, and she bolts for the opening, grabs one of the ropes, and hops out the door.
Excuse me?
Or the window, or whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely not.
You see Guru Topeak, he was probably going to also defend a maneuver. He was going to do something to protect you guys, but as soon as he sees her fly or jump out the proverbial window with one of the rare Air Nation artifacts that obviously has some sort of importance to him, he also goes running and leaps out the window, leaving you guys here with just the Hot Leaf Juice employees.
Why did she even come on this trip?
I was running
the puncher. She was here to get something, obviously.
So you were advancing.
Yeah.
And then that takes me to advance and attack. And Mika, you took it. Did Guohan also take it?
No.
No? Okay, you're doing a bit of it. Okay. Mika, what are you doing with your advance and attack? Or actually, you roll with passion first, and then you can tell me what you're doing. Because we have to find out whether or not you get to do anything.
Apparently not, because Madame Yang just... Dude, out of here.
I got a plan.
Eight.
Got an eight. Okay, perfect. So you can use one basic or master technique.
I'm excited for this idea. Where she's not going to get far. I got an idea.
He's got an idea.
I've got an idea. I may not have a plan, gentlemen.
Well, I've got an idea. I was going to strike, but since I can't strike, I'm going to smash.
You can strike.
Well,
why can't
you
strike?
I may not have a brain.
Here.
Oh, well, you can strike one of the others.
So I'm going to smash something.
Okay, you're just upset. Freaking balls. Okay.
Wait, I don't want to smash something.
Okay, never mind. She does not want to smash everybody.
Hold on a second.
Because she's too fatigued.
She's too tired.
All of my things are.
Well, you can strike instead.
You just punch one of the guys. Teach him a lesson.
I'm so sad. I'm going to smash something. I don't care.
Okay, tell me what you are doing.
I am going to use the one of the empty pedestals.
Yeah.
I'm just going to shove it towards somebody or something.
Wow, Mika's using physical force. Okay, sounds good. You shove...
I'm a teenage girl, you know? I have a lot of emotion right now.
Okay, that's totally fair, I think. Awesome. So you grab one of these pedestals that's sitting in the room, and you just hurl it at one of the Hot Leaf Juice employees, maybe probably one of them closest to the window, as if you were trying to, like, hurl it out the window after Madame Yang, whatever the case. It slams into this Hot Leaf Juice employee, and they are now impaired. They've been hit with this giant rock kind of unexpectedly. So I'm going to mark them on that. Guo, you're taking the... Oh, actually, no. Sorry, they're all doing advanced attack. Yeah, I forgot about that. Awesome. So they're going to do two moves. So they attend to commands. They get a additional fatigue on all attacks made next exchange. So not this exchange currently. But they're all essentially inspired by Madame Yang's words, which was to stop them at any cost. I don't know if I said that.
I don't think you did.
Okay. Well, that was
so. I guess that's not really their objective now.
Whatever the case, that's their primary one. Otherwise, they're going to three of them that are. Well, actually, the one that's impaired will also. No, the one that's impaired doesn't do it. I'm gonna say he's unable to as he picks himself up from the. pedestal that was thrown at him. But whatever the case, the other three go to attack. One of them swings a punch at Brock. Brock, you have an option here. You can either mark two fatigue, a condition, or shift your balance away from center. Your choice.
I can't try and just block it.
No.
I suppose not. Two fatigue.
Mark a condition or shift your balance away from center.
Well, let's see. If I shift balance away from center, I'm at force plus three.
Ooh, getting on the edge there.
And that's right where I want to live. I'm going on the edge.
Oh my gosh, he's going towards the edge.
Balance is now force plus three.
Holy cow. All right, sounds good. One of them strikes at Guo, which is therefore blocked by Bill. So what happens in that situation, Bill?
I take a fatigue.
Okay.
And then I return whatever damage they were going to do back at them.
Ooh, nice. Okay. So they would do two fatigue. So you are dealing two fatigue back at them.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Awesome. So describe to me what happens. This guy comes over. I'm going to say that he like jams his fist into the ground. As he's walking, he kind of like leans over and just kind of scrapes his hand against the ground. And as mentioned before, I would argue that they are all earth. I say I argue. I'm the guy making the story here. They're all earthbenders. So he like scoops up stone as he goes and he forms it into like a stone fist and goes to lunge towards Guo. You quickly step out to deal with this. How are you doing that? Like what's give me the visual.
I like to imagine that as he like is raising his hand to like Hulk smash
nice
Gohan, Bill just kind of steps in and he like slides in mid snap.
Yeah.
And he like redirects his bow staff right to like alongside his wrist as nice. He's swinging and he redirects it so it goes straight down.
Oh, cool. So he sort of like spins
so
it
I basically
back.
Throw his body straight down and he just lands smashing into the
Bam,
ground.
Bam! He slams
like
into
face
the ground.
First. Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. And he just, boom, you just see his kind of head kind of bounce a little bit as it hits the ground.
Yeah. And then Bill snaps again.
Very intimidating. Fantastic.
Right in his face.
All right. The last one sees Mika hurl that column over at the other buddy and runs.
He's very scared.
He's a little scared.
His knees are buckling.
And he thinks, wow, she's obviously the strongest person of this group. I need to take her down. So he too rushes forward and he does like a spin kick and kicks a stone at you. Just as I mentioned before to Brock, you need to take either two fatigue, mark a condition, or shift your balance away from center. Which would you prefer?
Definitely not the fatigue.
Okay.
I'll shift it away from center.
Oh, all right. More towards survival.
Yep.
Deeper she goes into survival. You block this chunk
of rock.
My
friends tried to stop me from going to punch Madame Yang, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
I don't want to lean towards them.
Yeah. All right, sounds good.
I got Madame Yang for you. I got it.
Okay.
You managed to block this chunk of rock, but your survival instinct, this desire to just kind of block out your friends, you sort of horse blind. You don't even see your friends kind of in the background anymore.
I'm rage
you're
blind.
You're rage, yes. You're furious. You're focused as you angrily stalk towards this enemy that just hurled a rock at you. Guo, you are evading and observing. What are you doing? Or actually roll with, you clear one fatigue.
He's
and
blocking.
Then you roll with creativity or harmony.
All right. I'm going to do a fighting technique called eat dirt. And so the guy who just was attacking Mika, I'm going to lift up a small segment of dirt at his feet and push his ankle out so he's like trips him up.
Nice. Okay. So roll with either creativity or harmony. It's up to you. And if you have a fatigue, you can clear a fatigue. That's kind of another one of the added benefits of evade and observe.
Creativity. Oh, that's a seven.
Seven? Okay. So yeah, you still get to do either a basic or master technique, which this would fall under that. Okay. So you slide this little bit of rock out from under this guy that's attacking your friend Mika. What does it do again?
Your target is impaired and unable to choose, defend, and maneuver in the next exchange.
Ooh, okay, all right, sounds good. So you slide this chunk of rock out from under his foot, causing him to kind of stumble a little bit. And he is now impaired. He maybe like twisted his ankle a little bit. You know how like when you step wrong and it kind of like twists your foot as you come down, it kind of does that. Now he's kind of sore. Whatever the case, he cannot take defend a maneuver next turn. And he also has a -2 to all physical actions. And so that's moving, that's where we got there. So we're moving into the next round of the exchange. So everybody pick a move that you would like to do, or an approach rather.
I will advance and attack.
Is anyone taking defend a maneuver, since that's the first one?
I am.
You're taking, okay?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Bill, what are you doing with defend a maneuver? Or actually rather roll with focus and then you do it. Sorry, I always forget that.
I'll roll 14.
Oh, holy cow, okay.
So I figured I stepped in front of Gohan when I defended him the last turn. So yeah. Now I'm just walking forward over this dude.
Okay.
And if another guy comes to like defend him as I'm standing above him, nice. I'm ready to retaliate.
Okay, again. Sounds good. And you actually, if you're doing basic moves, you can actually take two since you rolled a 14.
Oh, I can take a second one?
Yeah, so you can retaliate and you can also do one of the other two.
Oh, okay. Then I'll seize a position
okay.
as my second one since I can't. And the position I'm seizing, it says I can seize, establish an advantage position. Basically, the advantage position would be over the guy I'm above.
The guy that you just knocked over?
Yeah, so I'm standing above him. So I have an advantage nice. Against him.
Yes.
Probably not anyone else, but I have an advantage where like he's underneath me and I have my bow staff above him. And like if he tries to attack me, like...
Oh, okay. I was going
to
say, so
at he the has to take it, a fatigue if he was to attack me, basically.
Oh, okay.
On top of whatever he does.
Oh, it says any foe engaged, you can mark one fatigue to block this technique. I would say he doesn't.
Yeah.
But whatever the case, so it says engage, disengage with a foe, overcome a negative status effect, establish an advantage. Okay. So yeah. Okay. So in order to attack you, because you kind of have an advantage, this is the guy that's on the ground. You basically like step on him. You're like keeping him on the ground. If he wants to do anything, he's going to have to exert himself a little extra in order to, do any kind of attack against you.
Okay.
So, awesome. I like it. And then otherwise you are retaliating.
Anyone else attacks me, yeah.
Yes, perfect. Okay, sounds good.
Hey everyone, Skylar here. Are you a fan of Session Zero Heroes and the shows we produce, or the characters involved? Then you should check out our epic merch we have available online. From shirts to stickers and everything in between, we worked hard on creating a variety of designs and made sure to get your favorite characters on those products as well. Whether you're looking for Brock Lee on a hoodie to wear to the gym with you, or maybe Fizzlefinger's tote bag to stuff your ill-gotten gains in, we've got you covered. Just head over to our website at sessionzeroheroes.com and click on our merch tab to see all the amazing products and designs that you can get. Now back to the show.
Whoa, you're doing an advance, defend a maneuver?
Yeah.
Okay, so roll with focus, and then based on that, you can tell me what you are up to. Oh.
Eight.
Eight, okay, sounds good. So you can either use a basic or master technique.
I'm going to use a master technique, pinpoint aim.
Ooh.
So take the time you need to line up a perfect shot. Become prepared in the next exchange if you advance an attack, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. So you are now prepared. You is there someone in particular that you are lining up a shot with?
So Madame Yang has kind of exited the scene.
Yeah, a little bit. Or at least she's flown the window.
I'm going to keep my eye out for her to come back in case Brock flushes her out.
Not if I have anything to say about it.
And I'd say that, you know, you kind of take a step back to kind of observe the scene in front of you and prep your attack. So I'm not going to say that, like, you have to necessarily pinpoint on one specific person. If it comes back around to the next exchange, you can kind of alter that. It's not like Hunter's Mark in D&D.
Right. I reach into my pouch and pull out a small rock.
Nice.
Kind of get that ready in my hand to fling out.
The classic Guo's pouch of pebbles.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Jumping over to advance and attack. Who is taking advance and attack?
I am taking advance and attack.
Okay.
All right, so first, can you describe the scene in front of me all the way to those ropes that are hanging from
from my point of view to them ropes. What is the scene looking like?
All right, sounds good. So in total in this room, there are five different little pedestals, each with three of them with a relic of some kind on them, some sort of Air Nation relic. One of them was the one that Mika threw at one of the other Hot Leaf Juice employees, which is across the room closest by the window. He's kind of picking himself up. He's pushing this pedestal or whatever off from them. You watch. She just like picked it up and threw it at him. I'm sure there's a little bit of pride rising up in your heart as you saw this.
That's my dishwasher.
AKA.
That's my fake wife.
That's my sister wife.
Whoa. All right. This is kind of weird.
I mean, if we're going off of last episode, or two episodes ago.
I did say I was his sister.
His sister.
And my wife. My wife.
There's an empty pedestal that's like kind of directly in front of you. That was the one that Madame Yang had taken. Whatever Mr. Ocaron had left behind for you guys came off of that pedestal. Obviously, she took the turtle one as well, but that was on the one that Mika threw. Moving on, there is one Hot Leaf Juice employee that is currently being stood on by Bill. He is standing next to Guo and is confronting another one. And then the third one that's not kind of picking himself up off the ground is the one that's directly challenging Mika.
Gotcha. And what's the rope situation looking like that Madame Yang escaped on?
Yeah, there are two ropes that are hanging out of this sort of open gap in the mountain's wall. And so you can just, I mean, it's like just outside, right? Like open air outside of it.
Okay.
And you can see, obviously, that one of them is kind of taut. That's the one that she grabbed onto and is sliding.
I may not have a plan, gents, but I've got an idea. Okay, my plan. I would like to invoke Brock's ability to Bugs Bunny his way. So in my head, this is the plan.
Okay.
Brock runs, dives into the ground like Bugs Bunny, under all the action, towards where Madame Yang escaped.
Okay, hoping that you can like burst out.
Hoping that I can, well, I'm gonna pop up at the ropes. To which I then plan to either hoist or like, I either want to cut the rope that Yang is on just to send her to her death. Depending on how high this is.
So you're not even planning on going like under and popping out of the mountain. You're just trying to get under the enemies currently and then try to get to the rope.
Trying to get to the rope then.
I was like, man, you're asking a little bit much, but no, that's a lot more reasonable.
Get to the ropes because then I plan to, depending on if she's far enough down, I can try and just jump down, confront her, or try and pull her up.
Okay.
Because I feel like she's a frail old woman. I feel it. And Brock's a little...
She's like middle aged. She's about... Oh, you gotta keep in mind, her and Ocaron like went to school together.
She's probably within your age limit.
Oh, yeah. She's in my ballpark.
He's into all older ladies. That's right.
She's in my ballpark, but I'm just thinking like, would Brock be able to realistically pull her back up? Or if she's high enough off the ground, I can cut the rope.
Right.
And then send her plummeting to her inevitable death.
Sure.
Or I can jump down and try and confront her. But I plan to just, at this point, Bugs Bunny my way to the ropes.
Right.
And do that.
Okay. So you can absolutely do that. But I will say, I think this falls under seize a position.
Okay.
Which would be a defended maneuver, which is fine. We can do that.
So I will seize a position.
Yes. So you are rolling with focus in order to do a defended maneuver.
Yikes, that's, well, with my plus, it's a 7.
Hey, that's still a basic move. You can still do a basic move with that. All right, so leap into the air and comically dive into the dirt and stone below you, and you begin to tunnel over, popping out over by the sort of window opening of this chamber. And you take a peek outside, and you can see, in fact, Madame Yang sort of just like free, what do they call that?
Free falling.
I mean, basically free falling.
Free scaling?
Yeah, free scaling. Free scaling down the mountain, kind of holding the rope as she kind of just drops down. She's about, let's say, halfway. You see Guru Tapik. He's on an air glider. He's kind of soaring after her pretty straight down. He's not far behind her.
How long is this rope?
It is long enough to reach all the way down to where you can see a pathway that kind of like must curve around the mountain. So it's maybe, let's say 200 feet.
Okay.
And there's a cart sitting down there with a Hot Leaf Juice logo on it, and it's tethered to a couple of ostrich horses.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah. She had a prepared escape. There's also a Hot Leaf Juice employee in there who's like the driver.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've got stuff to think about.
All right. Sounds good. Well, that's perfect. Okay.
And how far down is she?
She's about 100 feet. She's about halfway.
Yeah. Obviously, all the Hot Leaf Juice employees are continuing their advance and attack. They are each going to strike as best as they can to try to hurt all of you, essentially. Let's start with the one under Bill, who is going to have to mark a fatigue in order to get up at all. Okay, so the one under Bill, he sort of struggles and manages to roll out from under your foot. He takes a fatigue from the exhaustion of doing so, and then he hops up and he just takes a couple of like basic punch strikes at Bill. So you choose either two fatigue, mark a condition, or shift your balance away from center.
Me?
Yes.
I take a fatigue and turn the damage back. Yeah, what's my retaliate?
Okay. Sounds good. All right. He goes to throw a second punch, and you retaliate, you dodge, punch at him or strike at him, probably with your bow staff.
Yeah.
And he goes down.
Yeah. He jumps up and he turns to like roll under my feet, and Bill just kind of sidesteps as he does this.
You're just
and
like,
as
yeah,
he
go
rises
ahead.
To like punch from his knees, Bill just kind of like whacks his bow staff on top of his head, and you just hear like a coconut sound effect, and he goes straight back down.
Nice. I like it. Awesome. The one that was over in the corner who had the pillar thrown at him, he's back up. He turns, he sees Brock standing there by this open windowsill, and he turns to go take a swing at him. So Brock, once again, so you have the choice, take two fatigue, mark a condition, or shift your balance. Now again, just to reiterate with you guys, if you hit the end of your fatigue, it's not the end of the world. It's once you hit full fatigue and all your conditions are marked that you are out.
Like dead?
Well, no. You're removed from the scene is the way they put it. So you're basically unconscious.
I will say, I'm going to be angry.
Oh.
Minus two to guide and comfort in a Sasa situation.
That fits Brock pretty well.
That really does. He never assesses a situation.
All right, but because he is attending to commands, you do take one fatigue.
God.
And
killing me here.
Because he is a group, he gets an additional attack, so he's going to do another strike against you.
Oof!
So take a second of the options previously.
All right, I guess I'll be... I'm not going to be afraid. You can't scare me.
Brock doesn't scare easy.
Fine, I'll be insecure.
Yeah. You're like, how is this guy punching me so
much? Why did he punch me twice? Usually we take turns. I punch, you punch. I punch, you punch.
Mika, jumping over to you and the guy that you are taking on, it also is doing a strike.
He's striking me?
Yes.
You can't hit a woman. Then it's a law.
You look at the curvatures of this person's body and realize it's a woman.
Oof.
You've lost your defense.
So she is
striking you. So you get to, you
I'm
can
not
choose.
I'm not gonna just stand there and take it.
Okay, that's good. But you do have to mark either, well, it would be two fatigue, mark a condition, or shift your balance away from center. You will take a fatigue either way.
Well, I only have one fatigue to give.
Okay, so you have to either mark a condition or shift your balance away from center.
I'm going to mark a condition.
Okay.
Just one?
Yep.
I'm going to be angry because I am angry.
That's fair. And then you take that fatigue as well.
Yeah, I did. Okay, perfect.
And then she's going to strike a second time.
Are you freaking kidding me?
That's how it's supposed to work. This is the thing that I learned that I was doing combat situations, yeah. Was they get one plus what they're supposed to or what they're shown as. Which I'm like, why don't they just mark that? Why don't they just say plus whatever? But that's just how the game is apparently set up. So you have to choose another one of those options as previously mentioned.
So mark a condition, basically,
yeah,
or
yeah.
Move my
center. Or move your balance.
Well, I was doing fine, aren't you, Quo?
Yep. doing just peachy.
I'm angry and insecure.
There's one guy left.
Yeah, because there were
I'll
four.
Move, oh, I'll geez. Move my so balance. This guy so I'm farthest me. Away currently.
You're at the edge.
I'm at the edge.
Oh, she might go off the edge. Awesome. Okay. And then finally, there's one left. It's going to approach Guohan. You're not defending him anymore, right?
I'm in front of him. I don't know. It's up to you as the...
I like to think that he does...
Drawer of this mental map.
You know what? So I'll say he rushes up to Bill then, since Bill is standing in front. And he's going to also... he's going to pressure you from advance and attack.
Okay.
Basically, he starts swinging at Guo, and you kind of step in front, and you're looking at two guys now, and they're swinging at, you know, you and Guo, and you're just focusing on keeping them from hitting Guo, I would assume, since you were kind of, you know, in that moment of protecting him. Uh-huh. And then in that moment, he's also striking. So you choose to do two fatigue, mark your condition, or shift your balance.
Would my retaliate carry over to this one, or did I use it on the other guy?
Yeah, it says each time a foe inflicts, so
I do it again.
Okay, sounds good.
But since I don't have a fatigue...
Oh, I guess that one guy's down, so technically it's just this guy, but whatever the case, same concept.
I am out of fatigue, so I have to take a status.
Okay, sounds good. But you do inflict a fatigue back.
Bill is insecure now.
Oh.
Why are you gonna keep hitting me, man?
I think I would think that you're insecure about the idea of being able to protect Guo.
Yeah.
Because these guys are
coming hard.
I'm
starting to feel it.
Yeah, you're starting to feel it. You're getting tired. You're like, I can't protect my friends.
Does Guo not like me?
He stopped snapping.
He stopped snapping.
Why did he stop snapping?
Did I do mine?
Oh, yeah. What was your... Oh, sorry. Yeah. Are you doing evade and observe?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you doing with that?
Well, I was going to either... bolster or hinder? Yeah, I think that's what I wanted to do.
Do you clear one fatigue?
Yeah, you get to clear one fatigue and then roll with either creativity or harmony.
Creativity.
So you use a moment to kind of take a step back and breathe, letting kind of the oxygen fill your lungs, feeling refreshed. So you get that fatigue back. You start to feel a little bit more focused and refreshed for the battle.
10.
All right. So you can actually take, if you wanted to, you can take two basic techniques. And if I remember correctly, and people might say things about it when they listen, but I believe you can in fact take the same move twice.
Which means I can hinder the guy I threw something at?
Sure.
Okay.
How are you doing that? Just for the purposes of...
Take an intimidating step forward towards another thing in between me and him.
Oh, okay. So you reach over like you're gonna grab another of the pillars.
Yeah.
And he kind of like flinches. So he's stunned. He's caught off guard. He's a little bit nervous about what you just did. He can't act or respond until he steadies himself. So that's what he will do on his next move. And then again, you can take a second action as well from the evade and observe. It can be bolster and hinder. It can be something else. It's totally up to you. But don't forget that you also have the person that's actually in front of you attacking.
Can I see what Brock's doing?
Yeah, I would say you can see.
Well, then I would like to aid him because that is also still my goal is Mad Meing.
Okay, sounds good. So you see him over there. He's right next to the rope, but he's got this dude that's fighting him and attacking him. Brock, what were your conditions that you have right now?
I am angry and insecure.
Okay, so what are you... You shout something to him to help him clear angry or secure, insecure. Which... What are you shouting to him?
Nice pecs.
Be the boulder, bro.
The boulder is conflicting.
Be the man I know you can be.
That's such a wife thing. That's not.
That is such a sister wife thing to say. I am so secure in myself.
Brock, you suddenly feel that you can, in fact, be the man that you can be.
You know, I'm implying that you should lie on your psycho tendencies, you know?
What makes you think that Brock is a sociopath?
You literally buried Matt Ming under the...
What part of the... 3 seasons of Broccoli's existence lead you to believe that he's a psychopath? Was it burying a human alive?
Yes.
Was it punching another human through a wall and then blocking off another guy's escape?
Yeah.
Wanting to kill a man on Soul Rest Day.
Yeah.
Soul's Day?
I think it was Soul Rest
Day. But I did it. Like, I haven't killed anyone
but I
that
didn't.
I know of.
That's the key thing.
Well, I'm just saying what happens to Madame Yang happens to Madame Yang.
Be the man that you can be.
Well, I got some options.
That she knows you
I've
can
I've got
be.
Options, though, for my next move.
And Mika has dark thoughts, so what she knows you can be is a dark version of yourself.
Yeah.
See,
so,
that,
like, I
you
can,
know, it goes with my whole angry thing,
it
you
does.
Know?
It does.
See,
oh,
I can,
yeah, and she's angry.
I did breathe, but now I can just, like, be maybe a little bit clearly angry.
Theme. I can just drop a giant boulder on her, like Wile E. Coyote.
Do it.
Maybe I can do that.
She'll probably just break it. She got out of the earth somehow.
She wouldn't.
Okay.
We still haven't addressed
anyway,
that.
Anyway, moving on.
I was going to say, moving on, we can, yeah. So we're moving into the third section of combat exchange. The guys in front of you look like crap. They look like they've gotten real beat to heck. Whatever the case, everybody decide what combat approach you're taking this round. And within that, is anyone taking defend and maneuver?
I will maneuver, not defend.
Okay,
it's
sounds
the same.
I will maneuver and
it's all
defend.
Part of it all, but nevertheless, okay, you sound real eager.
Well,
Brock.
Let
Oh, you want Bill to go first? Okay. Bill, what are you doing?
Nine.
Okay, so you can do one basic or one mastered. Which would you prefer?
Retaliate.
Okay, sounds good. You're still blocking Guo. You're making sure that Guo doesn't take a single poke.
If there's one thing Bill's good at, it's defending people.
That is true. That's
I feel like
thing.
You haven't learned that now. Bill defends.
Yes.
Brock's unhinged.
It is. And you've taken out one guy so far.
I'm about to take out a second.
Fully down.
I have not.
Brock.
I will be seizing a position.
Okay. What is
We're
that
gonna,
position?
A ring-a-ding-ding, the old rock elevator. And I'm going down about 100 feet to Madame Yang, and. Because she's like on the cliff, right?
Right.
So my plan.
I mean, she's actively moving down.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll go down. My plan
how
is to have Brock.
How fast is the Brock
feet.
So we're essentially going to jump and just tear through on this little rock elevator down, and he's gonna meet.
He's turning himself into a Brock slide, if you will.
So he's gonna go down and meet Madame Yang where she's at. On the rope.
Okay.
I'm gonna pop out like, what's it, like an Attack on Titan when the guy just jumps out of the wall.
Yeah. Give yourself an appropriate status effect. I'm guessing either prepared or empowered.
Well, I did get pretty inspired, I could say.
I suppose you could say that it was inspired.
Yeah, I'll go empowered. Wait, yeah, empowered. So
okay.
I clear one fatigue at the end of each exchange.
That's at the round, at the end of the round.
Okay, and I rolled a 10 on that.
Oh, yeah, so you can take an additional basic move there from the defensive maneuver.
Do it again.
Just go down twice?
To seize a position?
I mean, I'm already where I need to be. Like, I guess I can use the additional move to pop out and be like
just
under Madame Yang.
Here's what you could do. You could ready yourself. Given that you're moving downwards to try to meet up with Madame Yang, you could ready yourself and inflict a status effect on her.
I think she would be stunned because she probably wouldn't imagine someone's gonna pop out of the wall.
Oh, hey, I just realized something. You seized a position first, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Okay, so you establish an advantageous position. That's you using seize a position. Then, sorry, I was misreading. The you get it, what was it that you took empowered?
Yeah.
Okay, so you get empowered through being ready. Okay, sorry, that's my bad. But yeah, basically that encompasses everything. So you start shooting down. You ready yourself to pop out and hopefully stop Madame Yang.
Well, would she be stuck? Because she could also feel trapped because she's literally stuck between a Brock and a hard place.
Nice.
Oh,
back to back.
Okay, so it's up to you. Do you want to feel empowered or do you want to make her trapped?
Me empowered or her trapped? So my abilities will be naturally stronger and I clear fatigue at the end of the exchange, or she feels completely helpless. Must mark a combination of three conditions or three fatigue to escape.
Yes.
Ooh, I'm trapped.
So
I'm
she would.
Yay.
So then she would So if she's trapped, then she would also feel like angry, afraid, guilty, insecure. One of those, like three of those.
Right.
Or three fatigue.
Or three fatigue, yep.
She'll probably go with three fatigue. I mean, she's healthy.
So I can either mark three fatigue on her. I'm going to mark three fatigue on her. She feels...
Well, I think she decides, yeah.
Oh,
but
she
I digress, yeah.
Fatigue, yeah. But she's taking three effects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three so negatives.
Three, yeah. I will trap Madame Yang. She feels trapped. She's like, oh, this strapping young man who buried me alive.
She's coming.
I'm dangling on a rope.
I was going to say, she's coming down the mountain. She's holding onto a rope as she slides down. And she's got an airbender that's chasing after her. And then she starts to feel this rumble underneath the mountain as something seems to be headed her way. She can feel it in the rocks as she's, going down this rope. Awesome. Fantastic. We will jump back to that here shortly. Fantastic. We will move on to advance and attack. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. What are you doing?
I'm striking the person who's striking me.
Okay. Sounds good. Roll a passion. Roll with passion.
I got a 7.
A 7? Okay, you can take a basic move then. All right, so you're striking. What are you doing to strike out at this person?
I'm a kicker.
Okay, sounds good. Just
square in the jaw.
Kick.
You got water bandage. All right,
so you kick up. She's pretty much out at this point anyway. She's taking a whole bunch of hit as it is.
We're in a cave, Brock.
You kick your foot around and slam it into her face, and she falls down. She is out. She is done.
Yes.
Awesome. Suck so. It. That's good. Guo. Oh, actually, so Guo, you're not doing advance and attack, right?
I am doing.
Oh, you are doing it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Because you were all prepared. You pinpointed. Okay. So who are you attacking then?
So there's two guys left, right?
Yes.
Where are they at?
One is in the back of the room, kind of where nearby where Brock just kind of dove under, and the other one's pretty not too far from you and well, actually fighting with.
He's
Bill.
Fighting. Bill.
Yeah.
So that's 10, actually.
10. All right. So you actually can do 2. Both of which could be strike if you wanted to.
So I am going to do strike. Sweet. And with my pinpoint aim, it says I do not have to mark fatigue to choose what you inflict.
Ah, okay, okay.
I'll do the guy over by Brock.
Okay.
What is he doing over there?
He was punching on Brock, but then all of a sudden Brock kind of dove under the floor. So this actually is kind of funny because as soon as he dives under the floor, the guy's just kind of standing there, and then he looks up and there's Guo like ready to flick a pebble at him. And with pinpoint accuracy, you fire this pebble over, strikes him dead in the forehead like a David and Goliath situation, and the man topples down.
Nice.
And then you have one more advance and attack.
I'll aim up on the guy by Bill and do the same thing.
All right, perfect. You turn to this other individual and you pull another pebble, maybe bend the pebble out of your bag. Fire that one, goes flying over, hits him, I'm gonna say in the shoulder maybe, something like that. Knocks him back. They are, the last one there, they're incredibly exhausted and they are afraid. He falls to the ground. He pulls his own mask off and he starts to kind of back away from you all and he says,
"Where am I? What's happening here? Who are you people?"
And with that, you guys have essentially pulled yourself out of combat because this guy's no longer engaged with you. I'm going to cut over to Brock. So yes. Brock, as you are tunneling under the ground, you suddenly burst forth from the mountain, nearly hitting Madame Yang. She is going to be marking 3 fatigue in response to this.
Yes.
As she lets go of the rope and sort of kicks off of the mountain, falling dead air straight towards the ground. But at the very last second, you see out of her hands and feet, small flames as she slows her descent.
This still doesn't explain how she escaped out of the ground.
I'm just gonna say,
is she the Avatar?
To give you closure.
Yes.
That she has assistants
that are earthbenders
and employees that are earthbenders.
But how did they know?
Well, she probably.
I think there were two that screaming. Were in no, the
she
area.
Wasn't in the no, ground. That
she
went.
The, yeah, they were the right two lackeys story. Were lured away.
Right, right.
And she was alone. So I like.
That's why he buried her alive.
They obviously got out and then they helped her. Or maybe somebody at the party. I don't know.
Hey.
Maybe there was a person next all to right. you didn't know about.
Yeah. All she right. didn't Minecraft die like some people.
Well, speaking of Minecraft, let's... All right. So what is my position as of right now?
I guess flying through the air.
Okay. All right. Am I good to keep advancing and attacking?
Sure.
Okay.
I thought we were out of combat.
You guys are.
Oh, so, all right. So Brock...
Brock is plummeting to the ground.
He's actually, plummeting to the ground, yes.
As Brock is plummeting towards the ground where Madame Yang is hopping into this hot leaf juice cart.
Don't you dare tell me. The guru comes and gets me.
And Guru Topeak is sort of flying alongside of you at this point on his air glider as you guys are plowing towards Madame Yang.
Yep.
We're going to close out episode five.
I'm going to tell you the plan anyways. I'm pulling a piece of the mountain
out
of the mountain and just hucking it at Madame Yang. There is no shot she deflects that. She can't. She can't.
Hey everyone, Skylar the Game Master for Benders and Brews and the Creative Director over at Session Zero Heroes here. I just wanted to give you a quick outro before you head over to the next episode or call it a day. Firstly, thank you so much for listening to our show. It means so much to us to have such amazing people like yourself that enjoy the content that we produce. Without you, there really wouldn't be much point in all the work that we put into recording, editing, and sharing our TTRPG sessions with all of you. With that being said, we would love it if you would throw some love our way and drop us a review or a rating or whatever it is called wherever you're listening to the show based on whatever platform that allows you to leave reviews and leave recommendations. It means a lot to us to get to hear why you love the show we make, and it also helps the show reach other listeners as well, allowing us to grow our community. So, if you're feeling especially generous, you could even go as far as to share our show to your friends and family who also enjoy TTRPG Actual Play podcasts. It's really expensive for us to be able to advertise, and we don't do much of it, so it's a lot more help to have you guys share it with people that you know will enjoy it, and then they can join in the community that we're creating. That would make you a Session Zero hero yourself. And additionally, we'd love to have you stop by on one of our various social platforms and interact with the channel there. You can find Session Zero Heroes on Facebook, X, Instagram, and Discord. We post all sorts of updates, clips, and even the occasional behind-the-scenes look at what we're up to. And if you're ever looking for information on SZH or you don't use a podcast streaming site but you want to listen to our shows, you could do so by checking out our website at sessionzeroheroes.com. And while you're there, you can find out about the cast and the crew that make our show and provide the players' voices in all of our various series. And if you're feeling especially cheeky, you can check out our merch store where we have a ton of designs and products to choose from, all of which help us pay the bills and keep the lights on. So once again, thank you all so much for listening, and remember to stay curious, stay heroic, until we roll again.